The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So thank you all for coming today. Thank you, Reverend Master Mayon, for asking me to do the talk. And thank you, Reverend Master Jiyu, for having this monastery for us to come to. The question has been coming up for me, when terrible things happen, what can we do? What's the right thing to do? Or as Reverend Master would say, Reverend Master Ji would say, what's good to do here and how can I help? So I think for a start, I would like to, for us to take a minute of silence to offer merit for all the people in Ukraine, for President Zelensky, for all the people in Russia, and Vladimir Putin. May we take a minute. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. We have just concluded a continuing practice retreat here, talking about the marks of existence. No self, impermanence and change, and suffering. And I suspect that you all would agree that we have only to look around us to see impermanence and suffering, if not in our own lives, certainly what's going on in Eastern Europe. I found it interesting when I realized that the talk I would be giving would be at the Festival of the Samantabhadra. Because to tell you the truth, I don't know a lot about Samantabhadra. If you ask me who is she and who defines her and what's her place in our practice, there would be a big pause. Because my most vivid image of Samantabhadra is when I went out to Phagan Forest Hermitage. And on the altar was this wonderful, wonderful statue. And when I asked Reverend Master Dyasvi about it, he said, oh, that's Samantabhadra. And then later on I said, where I found out that actually Samantabhadra is pronounced Fugen in Japanese. So the reason we have a Phagan Forest Hermitage is in honor of Samantabhadra. So I want to talk a little bit today about what role Samantabhadra plays or could play in our daily life. And obviously I can't talk about your daily life, but I can talk about my daily life. Kanzion represents compassion. Manjushri represents wisdom. And Samantabhadra represents love, love in capital letters. So everyday activity, acting from the heart of compassion to express love for all beings, that's the activity of Samantabhadra. I have learned a lot from a book by Tegon Dan Layton called Bodhisattva Archetypes. He's written several books. He's a Soto Zen priest in the lineage of Shunryu Suzuki and leads a group in Chicago. And this is what he talks about with Samantabhadra. Samantabhadra is the bodhisattva of enlightening activity in the world, representing the shining function of wisdom. Samantabhadra also embodies the luminous web of the interconnectedness of all beings and radiant visions that express it. Her name means universal virtue and is pronounced Fugen in Japanese. And he goes on, it's an entire chapter, and it's quite illuminating for me, both from a historic, looking at the history and the iconography of Samantabhadra, but also exploring the title, Bodhisattva Archetypes. He talks about people in the contemporary world that manifest in their everyday activity the all-encompassing love of Samantabhadra. And that all-encompassing love means letting go of self. And the people that he talks about and gives a very, very nice little description of why he chose them . Some of them are Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Jackie Robinson, and other people that I would never have thought of in connection with Samantabhadra. So it really opened my perspective, and I started looking at everyday activity in a different way. This is what Reverend Master Jiyu has to say about Samantabhadra in Zen is Eternal Life, in Chapter 6. Spirituality might be described as activity in stillness, or stillness in activity. Let me make this clearer. Just to be passively peaceful and serene may be very nice for the person concerned, but is not particularly useful to anyone else. If you are to truly fulfill the Bodhisattva vow, we must do something more practical than be passive about everything. We must exhibit dynamic activity in the way in which we teach others. And she goes on at a wonderful and descriptive length to talk about dynamic activity and teaching others in our daily life. And it's not by what we say or what we sit up here and offer as a Dharma talk. It's what we do in our everyday life that teaches people. And that's the dynamic activity that she talks about, and that is attributed to Samantabhadra. Samantabhadra is often given the name universal virtue or pervading goodness. In Buddhism from Within, Reverend Master Daizui refers to her as loving patience, which I think I'm going to try to remember. So how do we go about our everyday activity in the midst of heartbreak and sadness? I think, like myself, all of you have been gravely concerned about the situation in Afghanistan, the freezing cold and the hunger. And then last week, war broke out if that's the right word for it, in Ukraine. And I thought earlier in the week, I woke up and I thought, you know, I have a comfortable bed, I have warm blankets, quiet room, a toilet and running water next door. And there are no explosions, there are no bombs going off. And the question came up for me is, how do I express my gratitude for this amazing opportunity? And how do I express my sorrow and my concern for what's happening in Ukraine? Because the question that I posed at the beginning, when horrible things happen, what do we do? What can we do? What's the right thing to do? I certainly can't, and probably none of you are able to go over to Ukraine and participate in some humanitarian effort. I feel great sorrow when I see a photograph of a man with a two-day baby, two-day-old, trying to evacuate. People are living in the subways. There was a baby born in the subway in Kiev. And as a former OBGY nurse, that is very poignant to me. And I have also seen photographs of people here in a combined volunteer effort packing up cartons of food and hygiene items and baby supplies to send over there. And we read about people that are going into Ukraine to join in the resistance. None of those things are possible for me to do. Even if I wasn't living in a monastery, it's unlikely that I would be able to do that. So, what do we do and how do we help? The basis of our practice is meditation, which helps everyone. And offering merit, which perhaps seems like a more direct way of helping people. And so I decided for myself that I would pay more attention to my meditation, my formal meditation, that I would pay attention to, am I being quiet and still in my daily life? And I would make it a point of finding ways to offer merit. I have for a long time had a nighttime ceremony, I guess you could call it, before I go to bed, of offering merit. And of course I will continue to do that, but I've decided that what I also want to do is at least three times a day be still, put my hands in gassho, and offer merit, not only for the people in Ukraine and President Zelensky, but also the people in Russia and Vladimir Putin. And given the way we make karma, he may need our merit more than anyone. I think it's important that we, as bodhisattvas, not make distinctions about who we offer merit to. And I say that from my own experience, because for the first two or three days, maybe longer than that, after the invasion of Ukraine, I would offer merit for the Ukrainian people. And I would offer merit for President Zelensky. And then I thought, wait a minute, what about the Russian people? Are they not worthy of merit? This is very disruptive and not everyone there agrees with the war. And as I say, certainly Vladimir Putin needs all the merit we can offer. So one thing that this current situation has given me is an expanded perspective on being a bodhisattva and on offering merit. Concerning the dynamic activity of a bodhisattva, this is what Thich Nhat Hanh wrote, the late Thich Nhat Hanh. He died in January, way back in 1998, and it's called Cultivating Our Bodhisattva Activity Qualities. Cultivating Our Bodhisattva Qualities. And he says, I think there's some wonderful teaching in here, at least there was for me. Bodhisattva Manjusri knows how to stop. In order to see deeply into the heart of things and into the heart of those around him. Stopping meaning being still, taking time to look deeply into ourselves. And he continues, we have to learn to stop our mind in order to look deeply. As Avalokiteshvara, we learn to listen without prejudice. As Manjusri, we learn to look without judging. As Samantabhadra, we learn to put that listening and looking into our daily activity. Samantabhadra is a bodhisattva of great action and universal goodness. She works hard and has the willingness and capacity to help. To act deeply, we must understand and love deeply. To save the world, we need the eyes of Manjusri, the heart of Avalokiteshvara, and the hands of Samantabhadra. The practice is to observe our unfortunate situation. Yes, something happened. But also to stay in touch with the many joyful elements so we will not drown in our difficulties. And I'll interrupt for a minute to say that it's been important for me, and I try to limit the news that I listen to or the news that I look at, to look for the good things that people are doing and that's happening in the world. Thich Nhat Hanh continues, bodhisattvas are awakened beings. We also have our nature of awakening, no less than they, but we have to train ourselves. One way is to practice invoking the names of four great bodhisattvas. Avalokiteshvara, regarder of the cries of the world. Manjusri, great understanding. Samantabhadra, universal goodness. And Krishnagarbha, the earth store Buddha. When we recite their names in a deep, relaxed way, every word can touch our hearts in the hearts of those listening. In the beginning, we still feel separate from these bodhisattvas, but practicing steadily, we realize that we are truly Avalokiteshvara. We are truly Manjusri. We are truly Samantabhadra and Krishnagarbha. It is not important whether they were historic figures, born in such a year or in such a place, the key is to realize their qualities within ourselves. So one of the things that I have added to my meditation practice is reciting the names of the four bodhisattvas and asking that I may see as deeply as they do, and that my activity of daily living can manifest the wisdom, the compassion, and the love of these bodhisattvas. I think one way that I found to start when I ask myself, what can I do? What's the right thing to do? And what's good to do here? Is to kind of look at that question from four different angles. Looking at that question in my own everyday life, looking at that question close by, family, friends, a place we know, looking at that question in regards to the town we live in, the county, the state, or the country. And lastly, and certainly not least, elsewhere, which for me right now is Ukraine. So the answers that come up for me when I look at it in those four lights in my own life is to look at what's happening from the perspective of the basic teachings that I've been trying to practice all these years, the precepts, the Eightfold Path, the Six Paramitas, and to ask myself, what mistake or mistakes, probably plural, am I making, and how can I do better? In looking at that question for family and friends and the place we know, I can offer merit for all of the monks here, for all the people that I know, for my family, for all the people in the county. And when I do it with that frame of mind, it brings everything closer. And my heart softens because it's not just over there. It's not separate from me. It's who I am and where I am. Now, obviously, there are things that we can do for both our country and elsewhere. We can make a donation. We can write a letter. We can apologize for our mistakes. And we can offer merit. So, going to the larger issue, of helping Ukraine, I go back to the vows of Samantabhadra. And there are 10 vows. I actually had a wonderful copy of them that I made from, that I copied out, printed out from BuddhaNet, and I put some copies back there, I think enough for all of our lay friends to take one if you like. And I'm not going to go into all 10 of them, but for me personally, the 9th and 10th ones gave me some guidance and some encouragement. These are translated in different ways, but in this particular translation, the 10 great vows of Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, the 9th is to constantly accord with all living beings. And the 10th is to transfer all merit and virtue universally. Universally. I might rephrase these for myself to include deeply accepting our global oneness and offering love, kindness, and generosity without any hesitation whatsoever. So, recognizing that I am not alone in meditating and offering merit. So, in spite of not being on the front lines, as it were, and sitting on my seiza bench by myself, there are other kindred souls out there carrying out Samantabhadra's vows. I was encouraged by an article that I read in the Christian Science Monitor, and it was entitled, and that's where I got part of the title for this talk, A Prayer for Ukraine. And the columnist said, I started by asking how Ukrainians themselves are praying. How do we pray for peace when war has already begun? The Reverend Roman Tomanowski, pastor of St. Andrew Ukrainian Orthodox Church in Russia, in Boston, says, we pray to God that strength is given to all Ukrainians. We pray for this identical thing every single Sunday, the morning and evening. And continuing on, the columnist, I'm sorry I didn't write the name down, prayers went out throughout the world, from Japan to the Vatican, the United States to Russia itself. The call for prayer, and I would say merit, has echoed. Humanity is not destined for self-destruction, Catholic Bishop Bernard Taji Kanasaki of Sapporo, Japan, said in a statement. Humanity is worthy of peacefully resolving differences and conflicts. This past Sunday, Pope Francis addressed the crisis and urged people around the world to make the following day, March 2nd, a day of fasting and prayer for peace in Ukraine. Nor was the call limited to religious leaders. In Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine declared last Sunday an Ohio Day of Prayer, and he attended a Ukrainian church in a show of solidarity. NBC's Saturday Night Live opened with Ukrainian chorus Dumka of New York singing a choral version of Prayer for Ukraine, the hymn that concludes services of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. So, sitting in meditation and offering prayer is part, at this moment, of a worldwide offering for all of the people in Ukraine and in Russia. I think that having some rituals, at least for myself, helps me. And I was looking for a way that I could bring Samantabhadra and dynamic activity more realistically into my life. And I went back to that Dharma talk of Thich Nhat Hanh. And he offered a recitation for us. And this is the recitation he suggested. We invoke your name, Samantabhadra. We aspire to practice your vow to act with the eyes and heart of compassion, to bring joy to one person in the morning, and to ease the pain of one person in the afternoon. We know that the happiness of others is our own happiness. And I would interrupt to say we know that the welfare of ourselves is the welfare of others. The recitation continues, and we aspire to practice joy on the path of service. We know that every word, every look, every action, and every smile can bring happiness to others. We know that if we practice wholeheartedly, we ourselves may become an inexhaustible source of peace and joy for our loved ones and for all beings. So in closing, I would offer that recitation for all of us to do. We can put that in our own words. To examine our own life, am I practicing love and kindness in my moment by moment daily life to the fullest extent I can? And when I try to answer that affirmatively, I realize that in order to do that, I was going to have to be willing, yes, to let go of self and to move out of my comfort zone. There have been two wonderful articles in recent journals on the comfort zone. One was by Reverend Alicia, one was by Reverend Alina. And what it did for me was make me realize that I don't realize that I'm living in my comfort zone until I try to do something that I'm not accustomed to or that makes me uncomfortable. So that's one of the lessons I learned. Another thing that came up for me was to ask, what are the tasks I need to work on now? There's a lovely article by Reverend Zensho, Remaster Zensho, in the December, the winter issue of the journal. And he talks about the last sentence in the Sando Kai, this I offer to the seeker of great truth, do not waste time. And what he says is, take your practice seriously. I encourage you to reflect on your training and see how you are using your time. Each of us can ask ourselves this question, looking in the mirror of meditation. And he refers to a passage from Ehe Dogen. Our practice is our life, and our life is our practice. And Dogen continues, our practice is about how we live in the world, how we bring our life into the world, and how we share what is significant in our life. Thank you all for coming. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. May you all be well and at peace.